It's been a long 10 years.
You signed up class tonight?
Yeah.
What's your name? Oh, you're the famous Yaakov Rosenberg. If you want. If you want, no pressure, I'm put you on the smart over here. Good. Welcome. All right, Chevra, let's begin the Meretz Hashem. So first of all, a tremendous thank you to all of our sponsors. First of all, a tremendous yeshikach to Reb Tzvi for just, I will say, a number of you have asked, by the way, about the lack of knives at the shir. The
lack because
of
there's
knives.
A lack of sponsors.
Right, no. It's not austerity measures. It's Beshita. It's a principled stance. You know, this is all about if you want something in life, you have to work for it. Right? Knives make everything so simple. Right? If you're mamish, but really, tremendous shout out to Steve for the beautiful, beautiful spread. Steve, who are our sponsors tonight?
Debbie Daniel, Red Double Schwartz.
To
David Schwartz and to Yisrael Blumen in honor of Aryeh and Peggy Walters on the birth of their daughter in the Kamala.
Incredible. Wow. You said tremendous, tremendous. Thank you.
Before we begin, we just hit the pause button for one quick second. Please. I speak for myself, and I think I covered everybody here. This has been a hectic time for everyone. Excuse everyone for my throat. especially for the Silver fan. 3 weddings in 2 months. I mean, it's quite impressive. So, Rabbi, thank you for allowing us to be part of your, for inviting us into your and Aviva's family simchas these past 2 months. Avraham and Zisi's wedding was just off the charts. And then Mordechai and Chaya Walker, that quote was beyond. And then Meretz Hashem, Thursday night, a week from tonight, Malka and Akiva. You and Aviva are models of parenthood. And we just want you to know, at least I do, and I think I speak on behalf of everyone, that we want to wish you, your family, nothing but more nachas, more simchas, good health, and for just bringing us into your family. That means so much to us. And everybody, let's give a l'chaim to the Rav.
L'chaim. David, thank you.
So no cheer next Thursday night?
That's all you got.
If I'm here, that means I'm in big trouble. By the way, that's, something's going very badly.
Chaim,
David, thank you, Chaim, I love you.
Is that scripted?
So I'll tell you. So first of all, thank you, David. And first, I really want to also apologize, just like for the flip flopping today a little bit. And I know that it's happened a couple of times in the past few weeks. Shear is on, shear is off. It's going to happen. It's not going to happen. So I'm sorry. Today there was a legitimate situation that I had to deal with. And the truth is, I'll tell you something interesting. It's not resolved, so I have to still deal with it tonight, the Meretz Hashem, afterwards.
Are you saying the rest of the time you just make it up?
What?
You're saying the rest of the time you just make up?
No. The rest of the time, like, it might be family stuff or whatever. I have to travel, this, that, you know, all different things. Like, this was mamish, like, and then I'll tell you, like, I don't know, I had this thought. I shared it with my wife, and after I shared it with my wife, so then she said, okay, fine, yeah, you go give the shear. You know, it struck me. You know, we're learning the Torah of the Piyajetzna. And the Piyajetzna is introduction to Eish Kodesh, not the Sefer. I mentioned this a couple of years ago on Tisha B'Av. The Piyajetzna is introduction to Eish Kodesh. He writes that he dedicates the Sefer to his son and his daughter-in-law who were killed in the bombardment of Warsaw. They were killed in the aerial bombardment. And then he speaks about his daughter, who was taken away on one of the transports. And the Rebbe said, I don't know what happened to my daughter, but whoever finds these transcripts, you know, please, you know, try to find out what's happened to my daughter, and please try to bring her to safety. The Rebbe didn't realize that his daughter had already perished at the hands of the Nazis, Yashama Zichron. And it struck me, so I was literally, I was sitting, preparing the shir, then conflict came up. Okay, so ready to cancel. And then it struck me that, you know, the Rebbe never had the schus of knowing what, not the schus, even is the wrong word, he never had the yishuv hadas of knowing what had happened to his daughter. He never had the schus to be able, you know, to celebrate simchas or to celebrate anything. I thought that, you know, we are the spiritual children of the Piyajetzna. We are the spiritual children of the Piyajetzna. We are the ones, ultimately, again, with many other members of Klal Yisrael, who perpetuate the Rebbe's memory, perpetuate the Rebbe's legacy. And where his children? None of his children survived the war. The Rebbe's family was obliterated. So literally, again, we're the offspring, the spiritual offspring of the Piyajetzna. Which means that whenever we can give the Rebbe's neshama and aliyah by learning his Torah, it behooves us to do so. That's what children do for a parent. Whenever you could do something for your father, whenever you could do something for your mother, you know, for those who don't have parents in this world anymore, what a child wouldn't give to be able to bring a cup of tea to a father, to a mother once more. What a child wouldn't give to saying, I love you, to give an embrace to a parent just once more. So every single week we come together, and of course we're growing, but also understand what we're doing is we're giving kavod to our Rebbe. We're giving kavod to our spiritual father, the Piyajetzna. And the truth is, you have to have a really good reason not to give kavod to your father. So I realized after I sent out the text, and then I called Steve. I'm like, all right, is it too late to back out of this? Can I back out of the cancellation? And Steve told me I could. As I realized that, you know, what a debt of gratitude and what nechrayis we have to our father, to our Rebbe. Rebbe led such a tragic life. And here we are, Baruch Hashem, it's summertime and it's beautiful and it's wonderful and we're all running around to different beautiful and wonderful things. Important to carve out time to say, Rebbe, Shimcha lo shachachnu, we have not forgotten you. We have not forgotten you, and halavai we should be zoche Amir Hashem. The Torah we learned tonight should provide an aliyah for our Rebbe's neshama and Amir Hashem. He should enjoy, together with his beautiful children, a beautiful and lichtuga gan Eden. And halavai we should all be zoche to be reunited with the coming of Mashiach Mihir Rabbi Aminu.
Amen.
So with that, let us begin. We are continuing tonight on page 49. So remember again, in this second section of the Sefer, and also this is not going to be sure the next couple of weeks. So that's the that I know for sure. Yeah, because
not
the Kassan station. No, I mean, bring the safer, absolutely. So if
people brought instruments, so likely
I'm not paying overtime. I'm paying any overtime, right? So in this set, and by the way, Mazel Tov Ramat, Mazel Tov on your granddaughter, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. The Torah, the Chuppah, the Meisim Tovin.
Amen.
So I'll say, so if you remember again, so in this second section over here, we are discussing the Piagetness kind of going back, and he's talking about a little bit of a review of what we learned, and also introducing some new concepts. So I'll say, so this part of the Sefer is incredibly profound and impactful, because you're going to see it's like bite-sized lessons, and each of them self-contained. So I'll say, paragraph Dalid, Bitfilascha. The Rebbe is going to talk about how to create impactful tefillah. How does one create impactful tefillah? He says, Tamod b'makom echad. Stand in one place. The Rebbe will say, this is a little bit complicated for the Pacers, right? So the Pacers, right? And again, I will say, all kidding aside, people do find kavan in different ways, right? For some people, staying in one place actually is challenging, and they could have better kavana roaming about a little bit. So again, the Piagetness, obviously, we'll say he's talking in a general sense. Makom kavua, ta'amod b'makom echad, stand in one place. So in other words, I'll say, by the way, I would say that in general, it is interesting, right? Imagine for a moment, you know, you're going ahead and you have a major client, you're trying to seal a deal. I don't know, I'm not a businessman, but I can't imagine that, like, you're sitting at the table over the business dinner, and you're like, all right, here's what we're going to do, right? And you start walking around, you go out to the bathroom, you check your email, you're out, you're this, you're that. Like, that doesn't, it doesn't work. So what's interesting to note is there is a concept that remaining in one place and remaining attentive to what it is that you're doing demonstrates a sense of seriousness. So the Rebbe says, "Betfilo tamo b'makom echad, etzel akir, stand by a wall, o beskiras einayim, close your eyes, close your eyes." He says, "Vitispalo b'kol, daven out loud." So he says three things over here, right? Number one, stand in place, right? Either by a wall. Again, close your eyes. Again, what's the common theme? By the wall or close your eyes? What's the common theme? Eliminate distractions. Eliminate distractions, right? That's it. Just eliminate distractions. He goes at lo rak litzok below shum kavana. But he says don't just, like, you know, some people they daven out loud, but they're just saying stuff out loud. He says, not to cry out loud without any kavana. He says, "Rak bekavana ubetikva sha'al yidei zeh tis'orer nafshecha mitardema." Why do you daven out loud? I'll say, why do you daven out loud? You ever try to wake up a teenager? Right? So again, you know what doesn't work? You know what doesn't work? Shefala, good morning. Good morning. Right? It's time to get out of bed. Right? You're so special. You have so much to accomplish today. Everything is going to be great. Mommy and I, we really believe in you. You're going to be fantastic. Right? We're good. You're up. Right? It never works. Right? It doesn't work on most adults either. Right? But let me say, how do you wake up? How do you wake up a sleeping teenager? You got to raise your voice a little bit. Why? Because sometimes to wake something up that is in a deep sleep requires a raised voice. I was listening to how beautiful this is. The Piagetzner writes, he says, you know what our greatest challenge is? My soul is asleep. It's asleep. And the problem is, the longer the soul sleeps, the deeper and more persistent the sleep becomes, the harder it is to wake it up. And I'll say, is this not the... You know what's interesting? You know how, like, in, like, I don't know what they call it. What do you call it in your car? Like, the newer cars, they have this, where you press, when you press on the brake, like, the engine goes, like, into idle mode. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Generative braking.
What is it called?
So it is.
No,
you're talking about something else.
Yeah, or, no, like when, like, off. Like when you, like, it doesn't, like, fully shut off. It doesn't fully shut off, but, like, it, like
shut...
No, one knows what I'm talking about.
Turns off when you stop at a red light.
Oh,
okay, whatever. You understand that, right? What?
We'll figure out the bus.
Get to it. Right. So what's interesting is, when you hit the brake, and the engine goes kind of like into that more like sleep mode thing. It's interesting because what happens is the car is on, right? regenerative brain. No.
That's something else.
The engine stops working.
Correct. Like you stop at a red light. You hit the brake, and like the car just like idles down. Right. Idles down.
Right.
So what's fascinating is it's on. The car is on. The car is on. What's fascinating is if you ever notice on a hot day, your air conditioning doesn't work the same way. Right. When it idles down. The systems in the car. That's why, like, when you take your foot off the brake, you hear the engine start up again. So, okay, so the nimshal. Oh, I'm into it. Okay, so it sounds like I'm on my fourth piece of chicken already. When are you going to get to it? So the nimshal is that in life, like we have our foot on the brake, and so everything like powers down, like it idles down. The problem just is when you keep your foot on the brake long enough and you're not engaging in dynamic activity, literally it's not just idling down, the car shuts off. The soul falls. I will say this has been the theme this entire time. I will say, if you've noticed, by the way, you know the one thing that Piagetsna has never said? That we're sinners or that we're bad, right? Piagetsna has never said that because that's not his approach. His approach always is, we're great, we're special, we're holy, we're incredible. We're just asleep. And if you're asleep, you can't, again, sleep is nice for a little while, right? But lamais, at a certain point in time, then it just becomes depressing and you can't accomplish anything. So the Rebbe says, daven out loud, why? She'al yidei zeh tis'ora nafshecha mitardema. Wake up the soul. Sure.
So, in halacha, though, you're not supposed to be, what I've read, is you're not supposed to be so loud that the other person can hear you.
Correct.
Is that fall into what he's saying?
Yeah, because remember, to wake up the soul doesn't need yelling, right? What the soul just needs is an audible pitch, right? Absolutely, it fits in right into this. In other words, not yelling, because that's distracting to other people, but lamaise, the point that Piagetsna is making is, don't murmur to yourself. Talking out loud in a way that's respectful to the person next to you as well, because that little bit of audibility, that little bit of volume is what wakes up the soul. I will say, I can't get over this idea about the soul falling asleep, because the truth is, once the Rebbe kind of highlights this idea, it's so true. So much of my challenges in life are not really because of averus I commit. Averus are not the cause. Averus are a symptom. Why do I commit averus? Why do I perpetually make bad decisions? Why do I find myself over and over again in the same circumstances that I promised myself I would not get back into? It's not because I don't care. It's not because, again, I'm indifferent. I fall asleep, right? What happens when you're driving and you're not off, chas v'shalom, what happens? You're in a different lane. But I didn't want to go in that. I know you didn't mean to go in that lane. I know. Suddenly the rumble strips, right, are there, and they wake you back up. That's what happens when you fall asleep. You drift out of your lane. And when the soul falls asleep for a long enough amount of time, suddenly again, I'm in the wrong lane. And sometimes, chas v'shalom, I actually find myself in oncoming traffic, even worse. So he says, daven out loud, wake up the neshama. V'tiskala mimachvo'el, l'seis likras malka v'kona ha'omed l'negda. So what's this beautiful? And when you wake up the soul, something beautiful will happen. The soul will come out of hiding. Let's say Slikras Malka Vakona will come to greet out the queen, the one who created her, Haomi Linegda, who stands opposite her. So the idea is, and here's what's incredible. Wake up, you know, kind of like going back to the teenager, right? You know that moment when you finally manage to get your teenager awake? You know that moment where, like, they open their eyes, like, a little bit, right? And there's that eye contact. And what does a parent do, right? Assuming you're not totally frustrated already, right? You smile. You've made eye contact with it. Okay, so right, we're both alive, right? We're both breathing, right? We're both up. It's the same day. There's that eye contact between parent and child. And the truth is, as annoyed as the parent may be, Lamaisa, there's a beauty. Okay, my child is awake. My child is in the world, says the Piagetsna. Just wake up the soul. Daven, stand in one place. Close your eyes or opposite the wall. Daven out loud. Wake up your soul, and when you wake up your soul, you know who's going to be there to say good morning? You know who's going to be there to greet your beautiful soul that's been dormant for so long? the Ribono Shel Olam himself, my father, my king. In the next paragraph, Tizar Ma'od L'Chav V'Pir Shamilos. Similarly again, the Piagetzner writes, be careful to pay attention to the meaning of the words. Aval Yish Ofan L'Kavonis Pir Shamilos. So we'll say, this is incredible. This is incredible. So the Piagetzner says, but when we talk about paying attention to the words, that means different things. And this is incredible. He says, Yesh Misharak Metargilo Machshava. Both say, for many of us, ultimately, again, Peresh Hamilos, translation of the words, means literal translation of the words. Right? What? Right? I'm davening in Hebrew. What do these words mean in English? That's Peresh Hamilos. The Rebbe says, that's not what I'm talking about. He says, for example, L'mashal, Hallelu Es Hashem, Min HaShamayim. Quotes the Pasuk Yedilim from the Hallelukas, right in Pesukei Dezimra. So, Rebbe, take the phrase, I'm good. It's good, Steve, I'm good. So, right, take the phrase, ultimately, again, thank you. No, you don't have to get on my desk. Thank you, Chas V'Shalom. Thank you. So take the phrase ultimately again. Halu es Hashem min haShamayim. So we'll say, how would you translate? Thank you. How would you translate that phrase? Halu es Hashem min haShamayim. So the Piaget does it. Halalu means what?
Praise.
Praise es Hashem.
God.
Kadosh Baruch Hu. God min haShamayim. From the heavens. Right. So bepashtos. When you look at this phrase, the way it would translate it as it's a descriptive phrase. Right, it's describing who's praising Hashem in this pasuk. Who's praising Hashem? The malachim, the angels. Hallelu as Hashem in Hashemayim. So the ones in the heavens, i.e., the angels, are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as such, I'm describing a dynamic. I'm describing something that is happening in the celestial sphere. They are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the heavens. The Piaget says, by the way, you know that's not what it means, right? Look what he says. He says, when you read that phrase, that the angels praise Hashem from above, say, how does it make you feel? The Piaget says, feel nothing with that. I will say, by the way, how affirming is this? Because nobody wants to answer, right? Nobody wants to answer. Oh, how does it make me feel? It makes me feel like I'm floating, right? It makes me feel overwhelmed by the enormity and greatness of the Ribono Shel Olam. I don't know about you. I feel nothing when you translate that phrase. So the angels in the heavens praise God. Good for them, right? Yay for you, right? What do I do with that? Piaget says that's because we're translating the pasuk wrong. Piaget looks at this and he says, "Eker per shamilos tzichaliyos shekishu omer halalu as Hashem yechavin shehu medaber ata ela olam umitzave osala halalu as Hashem." He says to Piaget that, you know what the pasuk means? Halalu as Hashem is a command. I am commanding the universe to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halalu as Hashem min HaShamayim. I am commanding the angels, Malochim, do your job and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You guys, you have one job. You have it so much easier than the rest of us, right? We men, we have so many different jobs, so many different responsibilities. Angels, you have one job, one responsibility. Do your job. Halalu as Hashem. The universe has to... The Piaget says, I'm commanding the universe, specifically the Malochim, to praise the Ribono Shel Olam. He goes there and he says, Hu akaras michomer, kevan shei. So even though, again, I am made from matter, right? I'm made from simple matter, right? Since I am a Jew, sar ha'olam hu. I will say, since I am a Jew, I am a master of the universe. Since I am a Jew, I am a master of the universe, or master of the world. And as such, and as such, I have a right to command this world and the celestial abode. From the angels to the dirt, right? To the creepy crawly things, to the grass. Leimor lahem, halalu es Hashem min haShamayim. Vahalalu kol koch ve'ar. V'chein kol kavanas perish amilos. V'az mizeh v'asu yisar v'yishalis. So we'll say, now watch this. watch this. So the Piaget that says when we daven, we have to know what we're saying. The problem is we often assume that understanding what we're saying means a translation of the words. You know what I said? It's interesting. I remember when Art School first came out with the interlinear sitter. You know what I'm talking about, the interlinear sitter? So I loved that sitter. I loved that sitter because it was great, because as much as you have English siddurim, you know, you have a line of Hebrew, a line of English, but it doesn't give you a word for it. The beauty of the interlinear, is you literally see what every single word means. It was funny. So I used it for a while, and then I realized, like, I don't know what this is, but, like, my davening doesn't feel any better. No, I'm not saying the Art Scroll is to blame for my compromised davening. No, they're great. They're fantastic, right? But I realized, like, so what is it? And I would say, the truth is what the Piaget is saying, kavana of words is not about simple translation. Now, of course, you need translation, right? You need, because you have to start by knowing just what the meaning of the words are. The problem is, all too often, that's where we stop. Right, I could translate the phrase, so the phrase is in Hebrew. I could translate it into English. Mission accomplished. The problem is, says the Piaget, now, great. So you translate it into English, and you feel nothing. And so again, normally I think, okay, if I feel nothing, that's a problem with me. Sometimes that's true, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's because I'm not tapping into the experience of what it's supposed to be. Says the Piaget, now, the goal is not to translate the words. The goal is to understand what the words are conveying. And very often those are two dramatically different things. Hallelu es Hashem min HaShamayim. My whole life I've been translating it as a descriptive statement about something that happens in the universe. What happens in the universe? The malachim, the angels, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Piaget. No, that's not what it means. It's a command. I am the speaker. Hallelu es Hashem min HaShamayim. I am commanding the universe to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who am I to command the universe to do anything? What was it? Who am I?
The star.
I'm a Yid. I'm the Sar HaOlam. I am the master of the world. I am a Jew. And I will say, do you know what that does when you translate the word that way? You know what that does? You know what that does for your confidence? You know what that does for your belief in yourself? How many of us walk around life thinking that we are incapable of becoming agents of change? I can't change my relationships. I can't change my career. I can't change anything. This is what it is. I'm a victim of circumstance. Really? You're a victim of circumstance? You're the guy every single day in davening who commands the universe to praise Hashem. You are not a victim of circumstance. You are a Yid. You are a Sar HaOlam. And if you could command the universe to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then imagine what you could do with your personal circumstances as well. Hosei. Has anyone ever davened like that before? I'm embarrassed, right? In other words, without another good reason why I didn't cancel tonight, right? In other words, I'm just saying, without this, like, you go through your whole life, and I'm so proud that I could just translate the phrase into English, which, again, I want to be clear, is absolutely an accomplishment and a necessary first step. You have to at least have a familiarity with the words. But says the Piaget, you can't stop there. Can't stop there. Because look at these powerful messages that are here in davening. I was saying, so much of davening just becomes about saying the things we're supposed to say, fulfilling halachic obligations, asking God for what I need, and then, like, mic drop. I'm out. Right? I'm done. Did my thing? Good. Let's go. Yes?
But doesn't that go back to the point that we learned from times back with the lesson about find one part of the service that hits home with you and concentrate on it? And make it mean something. This morning, that happened to me when we were done. I picked one part of the service, and it just drove it home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, remember, David's saying good. Remember, the stuff that the Piagetsna is sharing with us now, his whole idea is that he's reviewing concepts that I mentioned before. So absolutely. This idea of recognizing that I'm not going to have this heightened level of kavana in all of davening. I mean, halavai, we should get to that level. I don't know that the Piagetsna had that. I don't know if that's a sustainable model. But if at different points in time, I could latch on to different things, and Drew will say, but to me what's so dramatic about this is, it begins about God, right? Halavai Hashem and Hashem begins about God. But I will say, but the lesson of it is so much more than just God. I know that comes out strange, right? But the lesson of it is so much more than just God. It's about me and my whole life. So I mean, like, how I relate to everything. I'm not powerless. I have the ability to affect change. Okay, I can't change everything. But there's a heck of a lot of stuff I can't change. A lot of areas in life where I can improve. And a lot of things. I always say, we thrive on victimhood. Right? We love it. And the reason we love it is because the truth is, there is something beautiful to being a victim. Something beautiful. Which is that just, you're not responsible. You're not responsible. You are the victim. Someone or something did something to you, and that's it. So I'll say, are people sometimes victim of circumstances? Of course. Of course. Rachmanas on some of these very serious things. So you might have been a victim. The shaila is, do you choose to remain a victim? And here we'll say, from one little phrase in Hallelukas, Hallelujah Hashem, I'm in control. I'm in control. If I could command the universe, then ultimately, again, I could affect change in my life as well. Let's go right there. He goes on. He says, "Va'az mizeh ba'atzmo." We'll say, look how he ends this section. "Va'az mizeh ba'atzmo yis'or v'yislahiv." So we'll say, so again, and to David's point as well, this is just one phrase. We'll say, by the way, this is not even like in Shema or Shmona Esrei. This is in Psukei Dezimra. We'll say, you know Psukei Dezimra? It's the part between Brachos and Yishtabach. Right? There's that little filler time over there, right? So.
Not on this show. This
all right, whatever. He's just right. That's how you put your thousands on. Right. Okay. Good. Okay. You know what? Let's be honest. We could blame it on the speed of it, but even without the speed of it, we struggle. And I think this piece of the PHS is very affirming. Like David said before, just find something. But of course, in order to find something, you have to kind of give yourself the opportunity to survey everything. For us, remember again, like the PHS said, find your mantra, right? Find your pasuk. Right? What's the one thing that you say to yourself over and over and over that awakens your soul, that allows you to believe in yourself? Good. Let's go back a little bit. Let's say we'll do one more short section, and we'll start for tonight. Kol Dover Tov. So this is actually very interesting over here. So paragraph Hey. We'll at least start it tonight. Kol Dover Tov. It's so funny how like the PHS the one shots, right? I actually had in mind that we were going to do 3 pages tonight. I was very, very excited. We're going to be... All right. Okay. Good. Kol Dover Tov. No. All right. Hey. No, we'll say, what's the rush? Kol Dover Tov. You know, the Piaget does like fine wine, right? Nobody throws back a glass of fine wine, right? Or otherwise it's wasted on you, right? You take a little sip, you roll it around the palate, you let it sit, you pick up the notes, you pick up the fragrance, right? So that's the Lahavdil, that's the Rebbe's Torah. Kol Dover Tov. I'm sorry?
That was 2 weeks worth.
Thank you, Zoe. I feel better. Right. Kol Dover Tov. So we'll say, Madrigo Midatova, Be'eza Sefer. Listen to this. We'll say, this is incredible. When you learn or you hear about some Madrigo, some level, or Midatova, or some good character trait that you hear about or that you read about in some Sefer, Shaya Be'ish Tzadik. So I'll say, you know, my grandmother Zichron Levracha used to love to read like biographies of tzaddikim, especially like in her later years. So I got into a little bit also. So sometimes I'll tell you something interesting. Sometimes you read these biographies of tzaddikim, and I will tell you it's the strangest thing. I walk away sometimes a little bit depressed, right? Why? Because you're like, I am never ever going to be like that. Like it's not even shayach for me to be like that. Like I'm not. I don't live in the same world as this person who I'm reading about. Now it happens to be that a lot of times, unfortunately, in biographies of tzaddikim, there is a tendency to deify great people and to make them much more, you know, angel than man, which is actually a tremendous disservice in the biographies of Gedolim, because it totally goes ahead and just removes them. You know, if Shem Shnofar Hirsch brings down, he says in Chumash Shmos, right after the Torah introduces us to Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah goes ahead and goes into a whole genealogy. Goes all the genealogy, right? Starts with the Shvatim, then goes through everyone to Moshe Rabbeinu. If Shem Shnofar Hirsch says, why does the Torah go into a genealogy? So he says something amazing. He says, he's fascinating. He says, there are certain religions who made a mortal into a god. He said, in Judaism, we believe that even the greatest of all men is still a man. Is still a man. And is still immortal. Right as Moshe Rabbeinu begins his meteoric rise to greatness, what does the Torah do in that moment? Tell you who his mother and father were. Why? Because by telling you his mother and father, what does that show? What does it show? He's a real man. He came from a mother and father just like you and I came from a mother and father.
So where did the deification shift come from?
I'm sorry? I don't know, it's clear, like, in general,
right,
again,
sure.
You see it even people are critical of some of the things that Rav Shlomo Feuerl Hirsch says, because they feel like he's too critical of the Avos and the Mos. You know, again, obviously, great people are on a different level. But Lamaisa, the Torah gives us the geology. Tells them, now, is Moshe Rabbeinu a regular guy? No. But he's not a regular guy. I shouldn't say that. Lo kam Yisrael ki Moshe. There's never another prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. But not because he was born that way. Right? Or not because, you know, he was preordained that way. Because he made decisions in life to live a certain way. But he started out the same way that you and I did. Right? He came into the world.
Like coming off of him. Table,
that's a medrash. That's a medrash, which is nice, which is beautiful, but you could take it or leave it. I'm just saying, remember, there's plenty of medrash. Medrash says that he was born circumcised, that he was... So again, but when you just... I'm just saying, when you just look at the psukim, just look straight at the psukim, what differentiates me from Moshe Rabbeinu? Now, don't answer that, right, by the way, please, right? Hey, boy, what on the most season, what differentiates me from Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu made good life decisions. And he made them consistently, and he was dedicated to a trajectory of constant and consistent growth with unyielding commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what makes a Moshe Moshe. Not that there was light coming out of his teva, not that he was born circumcised. That's not what made Moshe Moshe. What made Moshe Moshe were the decisions he chose to make in life. So therefore, the Piagetzna says, sometimes you read something about a great person, right? He says, listen to this. This is so affirming. Every time the Piagetzna talks, I feel myself so affirmed. He says, Altis Yaish Leimar, Ein Zelefi Erki. Person should never say, ah, you know what? This person was so great. They're so far above me. Rak Adraba, Tachmod Elov Vitomar, Halogam Hu Haya Yelut Isha Kimoni. Rather, we'll say, what should you say when you read something great about a person? You know what you should say? You know what? They're mortal just like me. They were born to a father and mother just like me. Someone changed their diapers just like someone changed my diapers, right? We all start in the same way. He goes on, he says, Vim haya, listen to this. Vim haya holich batal kamoni, gam kein lo haya magia elav. And the truth is, if that great person would have wasted as much time as I waste every single day, he also wouldn't have become great. V'lama lo agia gam ani lo. And why can't I reach the same levels that he reached? So we'll stop with this sentence. We're going to pick up again with this section. I was like, but what a profound idea. See, you read about great people, you learn about great people, and of course the reflexive reaction is, oh, that's not me. And we'll say, what we don't realize is that subconsciously, that is a, if I could... You'll tell me if I'm using it, right? Subconsciously, that is a defense mechanism. You see, it's nice to be able to read about great people and then say, oh, that's not me. You know why that's great? No, that's great? Because if it's not me, no responsibility. Once again, no, everything in life is about avoiding responsibility. Right? Not my fault. Remember, not my fault, guy.
Yeah.
Right? Not my fault, right? Not my responsibility. No, that person, he's Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not shayach to me. I read this paragraph. Not me. Piaget says, why not? You think that guy came out of his mother's womb with a shas? Right? You think that he was hunched over his gemara right during his bris? What do you think was happening over here? Right? He was a baby just like you. He cried just like you. He couldn't take care of himself just like you. He had parents just like you. So why is he him and why am I? That wasn't good English, but you understand, right? So Piaget says very simply, he used his time and I waste my time. That is what it comes down to. But the good news is, if I choose to utilize my time in a different way, why can't I become just like him? That's the message of the Piagetza. I'll say, all right, we'll stop over here for tonight. So again, our next shiur is... yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm going to put on. I know. I'm hesitant to say it's. We're gonna try for August 24th in Mir Tashem. Try for August 24th. I know again that I'm not here August 31st, but all right. We'll.
It's kind of like I want to be like Mike. I was back.
Trevor Bayer.
I want to be like Mike from the early 90s.
Say that again. I want to be like Mike.
I want to be like Mike.